two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number three. Here we go. Final show in January 2023. Matt Biamonte and producer Nate Slack on board. No Mitch Harper today. He was enjoying time with his family at Disneyland 5. Glorious, probably painful days at Disneyland. He'll be back next week. Right now, look, we talk a lot of BYU football on this program, and rightfully so. We just had Riley Nelson on. He's stepping away from his role as the radio analyst alongside Greg Wrubell. We got kind of a little inside look as to why he made that decision and wish him the best. But we're going to do everything we can to have Riley still be a part of Cougar Sports Saturday during the football season. So maybe he can just shift over from there over to here and give his analysis with us. We always had appreciated Riley's time talking with us and breaking down the football team. So kind of an interesting story, too. He didn't talk about this, but so his first road game was BYU versus Tennessee. He just mentioned this. That was also my first road game on the show, and it was the same for Mitch. And so we actually met up with Riley Nelson. We pre-recorded that week's edition of Cougar Sports Saturday. We were all in a hotel room where the team stayed, had a good two-part interview with Riley. So he was fresh. We were fresh. And now that I think about that, it's kind of crazy. It's been that long since that Tennessee game. But Riley's the man. He'll certainly be missed. And it'll be very interesting to see who they bring in to do that job, because it's important. You want to have good analysis alongside the play-by-play, and Riley did a great job. So it's going to be a while before we find out who that next person is going to be, I think. But it'll be interesting to see who it would be. If you could wave a magic wand and have anybody do it, I'd like to see Ty Detmer. Now, he's a coach, so I don't know if you can get him to do that. You probably can't, but I think Ty would be fascinating. Like the day before that Riley announced on Twitter that he was leaving, I saw this clip of Brett Favre. I've heard this story before, but this is why I just think Ty would be so good. Brett Favre, I don't even know where he was, but he was talking about how one time in Green Bay, he kept hearing this word like nickel, nickel, nickel. Have you heard the story? It's a famous Brett Favre story, but he goes off to the sideline. He's like, Ty. Ty was the backup to Brett Favre in Green Bay for a while. He's like, what is nickel? And he's like, that's when they take off a linebacker and they bring on a DB. And he's like, that's it? Who cares? It was a funny story, but I just feel like Ty, from all of his experience and all of the people he interacted with at the NFL level, would bring great value to that role, Whether he wants to do it is a whole other thing. So we'll have to keep tabs on that. Right now, though, let's switch gears and get to a conversation I had earlier in the week with the first-year head coach of women's basketball, Amber Whiting. We caught up before they went to Moraga. They beat St. Mary's Thursday night, so they swept St. Mary's in women's basketball. They won 74-59. Lauren Gustin had 20-20. She has been unbelievable, and Nani Falatea, she led the team with 25 points, 4-5 from three. So they got the job done. We caught up before that game. Here is that interview I had earlier in the week with the women's basketball coach, Amber Whiting.
Coach, your team's been playing great basketball lately. I know the seven-game winning streak was snapped against Santa Clara, but before that, seven games in a row that you guys won. What do you think has clicked for this group to where you're seeing improved play on the court?
I think they're buying in and playing really unselfishly. I think they are playing tough defense, and I don't like losses, obviously, but I feel like having a loss right now was good to kind of refocus us and for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I told them now we start another streak. Yeah. So,
you touched on the defense. I couldn't help but notice there were multiple games during that winning streak where you held opponents below 50 points, and even some teams were like 50, 51. What has impressed you about your team's defensive play as of late?
They're really gritty and they're tough. And, you know, teams are going to make runs, but they've just been really resilient. And, like, they make a run, we turn around, we make our own. And just holding each other accountable on the court and working together. And defense is never just a one-on-one thing. You got to have a help side, you got to have a plug, you got to have all the things. And so sticking to the game plan, they've just really bought into that side of it.
Coach Amber Whiting is our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. I think there's been a lot of attention, even nationally, on what Lauren Gustin has done on the glass. All but one game this year, she's had a double-double. What has impressed you about her play and her tenaciousness rebounding the basketball?
She has that thing that you can't coach, like a motor. And so she just has a nose for the ball. And so whenever she's in, I just know at some point in time she's going to get, you know, however many rebounds she has. But outside of that, I've been really impressed with her leadership and how she stepped into that role and just having that scoring mentality as well so that she can help her team win on both ends of the court.
You touched on the leadership. What specifically about her leadership style it resonates with this team?
First of all, the example of hard work she puts on for them. But I also challenged her to be more vocal because she wasn't that last year, and she wasn't that to start the year off this year. And so just little by little, she's learned like how to talk to her teammates, when to talk to like, and how to hold them accountable. And it's been really refreshing to see her step into that.
Last year's team, what you mentioned, a lot of experience, a lot of production. This is a newer group. One player in particular that's really jumped off the page, I think, for a lot of fans here is the play from your guard, Nani Falatea. I think she averaged about 3 points per game last year, and it's jumped all the way up near close to 15. What have you seen from her play that's just allowed her to elevate up to that double-digit scoring point?
She's got herself in really good shape, and she's been really aggressive. She's reads the pick and balls really, really well. And so I've just kind of let her roll with what she's good at, and I don't hold her back very often. I mean, very few times do I say, you know, let's hold it back and run something. I want her to push in transition and get things that – and she's just good at it. So you just kind of got to let your horses run sometimes.
We're getting to the point in conference play now, and your team, 6 conference wins already, which is a good starting point for the first half of conference play. Now you're running back around against teams that you've already played, a lot of them that you've already beaten. What challenge does that present playing a team for a second time?
They've already seen us once, so they're going to try and do something different. So it's not just, you know, you're going at each other for the first time. So you got to try and figure out, okay, if they guard our pick on balls this way, how do we do this? And so we realized last game what the challenges that we have got to overcome. And so we're really diving into those in practice, and it's not always pretty, but if we work through them right now, they'll hopefully manifest themselves in games.
A few more moments here with Coach Whiting on Cougar Sports Saturday. I'm not a big two-part question person, but sometimes I can't avoid it because I'm like, yeah, it's hard to focus on both. But you played here. You know what it's like to be a BYU athlete. And now that you're back here as a coach, what's one thing that has maybe surprised you about returning as a coach, and also maybe one thing that's been more challenging than you thought it would be when you took the job?
BYU is a special place, and Like, to come be able to come back and coach where you played is an incredible opportunity. But, like, when I have recruits and I can get them on campus, I feel like just being able – it's like a proud mama. Like, you're being able to just, like, show them how special this place is. So to answer your first question, I feel like that, for me as a player, it was always special, but you don't realize it until you're adult, until you've been to all these other places or you've, you know, like – I mean, because recruiting with my daughter, we've saw a lot of places, right? Mm-hmm. But
yep.
When you come here and it just feels like home, that's a good testament to me to just know I'm at the right place. And then on the flip side, the hardest thing here is to get the kids on campus, you know, because BYU has certain, you know, standards and reputations. And so we got to make sure that they're a culture fit first. And then I go down the road with them recruiting wise. But once you get them here, I feel like it just kind of just flows.
Last thing for it, and we'll let you go. Being your first year, how far along are you in terms of building the program, the culture, all the cliche words that a coach would use? How far along are you on that path to building what you want to be BYU women's basketball?
I don't really see the end in sight. Like, you don't see the end goal like, oh, I've arrived, right? Like, I feel like every day is that building opportunity, and every day you're fighting for your culture and what you want it to look like. And I feel like it's, you have to enjoy the journey, enjoy the process. And so I don't feel like there's an end, like a finish line. It's always going somewhere.
There you go. BYU's women's basketball coach, Amber Whiting, her first year, played as a player at BYU. She's been in Idaho for a long time and then got the job when Jeff Judkins retired last year. And there were some mixed feelings about her becoming the head coach at BYU. There's no doubt about it. I think a lot of people wondered, why is it not Lee Kamard? He's been an assistant. He was a men's player. Could he slide right in? Or do you go out and hire someone else that's been a coach? Because she's never coached college basketball before. Well, I think she's silencing a lot of doubters right now with her team's play. They lose Shaylee Gonzalez to the transfer portal. She goes to Texas. She's able to retain Lauren Gustin, however. But this team is playing good basketball right now. They're 12-9 overall. They had a slow start in non-conference play, but they're 7-3 in conference. They tip off in about an hour in Stockton, California against Pacific. They've already beaten them. So, look, they've got a realistic chance, I think, to maybe win the WCC. And let's see what happens in the tournament. But when you have a player like Lauren Gustin who is just dominating, she's got a case to be on the short list for the player of the year. Like, that's the type of numbers she's putting up. 20-20 in the win at St. Mary's on Thursday. She's had a double-digit rebound performance in all but one game this year. She's just balling out. So BYU basketball on the women's side, it's been a real pleasant surprise this year, and I had a good time catching up with Coach Whiting. We got to take a break. Let's keep breaking down BYU and St. Mary's tonight. We'll dive into some deeper analytics stats and get you prepared for the game. We'll do that on the other side. Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. Final hour of the show, and then tonight, starting at 7 p.m., BYU and St. Mary's pregame. You can hear that right here on KSL News Radio. Matt Biamonte, joined by our producer, Nate Slack, breaking down the Cougars and the Gales, which is, it's a very difficult game because St. Mary's is so dang good in so many categories. Let's just run through some stats, and then I'll tell you why these are important for tonight's game. So St. Mary's is sixth in the country in net. What is net? And that's a great question. But net is it's really an interesting metric for college basketball that helps the committee at the end of the year determine who should get in to the tournament and who should not. The net includes more than winning percentage. Like, it takes into account the strength of schedule, where the game was played, the scoring margin, offensive and defensive efficiency, and the quality of the wins and the losses, because they're able to put games into quadrants. That's why you hear the term quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four, is because that's a way for the net and the committee to determine, was this a good win or was it not a great win? Was it a good loss? Like, you want to avoid quad three and quad four losses. So the net is, it's a big deal. And St. Mary's is number six in net. They're number seven in KenPom. And then from some individual statistics that I think are interesting, St. Mary's has the fourth best scoring defense in Division One, holding opponents to 57.2 per game. I do think that stat is a little misleading, because is their defense that good, or is their offense so slow that by nature of the pace of the game, the other team just has less possessions, and so they score less? That doesn't necessarily mean that the defense is the number one reason for holding teams to 57 points. I think that's important to note, because BYU basketball, before the year began, they aspired to be a faster offense like what we saw in Coach Pope's first year. That has not materialized. And in fact, I don't even think they've been very good in the faster pace. I don't know if that helps this team, because they turn the ball over so much. They're not good at taking care of the basketball. I don't know how accelerating the pace necessarily helps them keep the turnovers low. In some of their wins, like the Utah game comes to mind, they find their spots in the fast break game, but if they're able to like make threes and take care of the ball in the half court, that's where I think BYU basketball is a much better offensive team. So I'm not too worried about St. Mary's defense, although it is very good. I think it comes down to, can BYU make shots and take care of the basketball in the half court? When they've done that, they've had some nice wins. When they haven't, it's been a struggle. So maybe a little misleading statistic there from St. Mary's perspective, that they have such a good defense. I will say this particular stat is quite impressive, and it's their efficiency numbers, which play a role in the net. But they are, I think, 35th in the country in offensive efficiency, which is pretty good. And they're, I think they're 7th in the country in defensive efficiency. So the offensive efficiency number to me is way more impressive than the defensive number, because they're choosing to slow the game down. And even with the limited possessions, they're finding ways to score. So that's impressive. And then the last stat that I think is really important, because I think it's going to play a role tonight, and I hate always coming back to this, but I just feel like it's such a big deal in basketball right now. It's the three-point line. St. Mary's is 28th in the country in three-point percentage. They're at nearly 38% per game, and that is best in the West Coast Conference. That's even better than Gonzaga. So they're the best three-point shooting team in the conference. You know who the best, as we bring in producer Nate, you know who the best three-point shooting team is in the country?
I do not.
It's Utah State.
Is it really?
Utah State's making 42% of their threes. It's not resulting in as many wins as Aggie fans would like, but I would love to see BYU be on the first page of three-point shooting, which is top 50. They're not. Mm-hmm. And I think Gonzaga's 31st, St. Mary's 28th. You've got to be able to shoot the three ball well to get to the tournament these days. I feel like that is critical, and this team has not shot the three ball well enough. That's the biggest key for me tonight. Can BYU make threes? Because there's not going to be a lot of opportunities. Maybe they only take 15, but if they go 8 of 15, they'll be in the game.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, in BYU's losses, BYU has not been able to shoot the three very well. There's been a lot of games where they're, you know, 3 of 9 from three, and they're just not shooting enough. I remember I can't remember the opponent last year, but there was a game last year where BYU, even earlier this year, BYU started, is one of the games in Vivint Arena, and they started the game going like 2 of 8 or something like that from three, like not a super great percentage. And then they end up breaking the record. I think it was that game. They go off for like 23 pointers in the game. So just keep shooting the ball. I'm just looking at some of the, just the traditional statistics. BYU is extremely similar to St. Mary's in points per game. St. Mary's is at 72.1, BYU at 75.3. But the points against is what really separates the two schools. St. Mary's allowing just 57 points a game, BYU allowing almost 70. So It's going to be tough. BYU is going to have to make the most of their possessions, make sure that they're not turning the ball over at a high clip, or else this game can get out of hand early.
The most discouraging thing for me from BYU's perspective of late is when Gonzaga came to town a few weeks ago, they were top 20 in total rebounds per game. That has slipped since that loss. They're all the way down to number 35 in the country, which that's still a good number to be the 35th best rebounding team. But in a two-week span, they fell almost double their spots. So they're not rebounding nearly as good as they were during that winning streak. And to be honest, the reason they won a lot of those games was because of rebounding. Mm-hmm. They beat Utah because they rebounded better than Utah. If they can't rebound at a much higher level than their opponents, they're going to lose. Like, that's why they lost to Santa Clara. Honestly, in my opinion, they just could not rebound well enough in that game, and Santa Clara made them pay. So three-point shooting is big, but how they attack the glass will be big as well, because if it's a situation where they're even, I don't see how BYU wins this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Pope was talking last week about how physical Santa Clara and San Francisco were, and BYU didn't respond. They didn't match the physicality that those teams brought. They couldn't rebound the ball when there was some banging going on down low. And BYU is going to see more of that tonight, if not more.
Yeah. So
BYU is going to really have to up their physicality in order to compete with the St. Mary's
tonight. I know that's been an emphasis at practice. I was there on Tuesday. It was a very long practice, went a lot longer than normal. Down hall, as you heard earlier, said it was pretty physical. So they're trying to replicate it, but it's a whole different animal when St. Mary's comes to town. Taking the break on the other side, we'll get to the hurry up, some news and notes from around the world of BYU that we haven't touched on yet. Back in, it's Cougar Sports Saturday. Matt Biamonte joined by producer Nate Slack. No Mitch Harper today. Maybe he's home. He's got to be getting close to home. He's driving back from Disneyland. Five long, grueling days at Disneyland. How many days at Disneyland is good enough for you?
Three max. Honestly, two is probably two's, good.
Two's my spot.
I think two is good. Five is way too many. I think by day three, you're kind of double dipping into some of your favorite rides. Just to
double dipping, you got to be quadruple dipping at that point.
Yeah, probably. If you got the Hopper Pass, I can see how you're double dipping. But 5 days is too many for me.
I will say there is one scenario in which I would enjoy 5 days.
What's that?
Any guesses? Come on, it's easy when you think about it. If you were able to stay at the Grand Californian,
okay,
I could do 5 days, because then you could go take naps, you could stay in pools, but
yep.
That's not cheap. That you'd have to maybe take out a second mortgage to pull that off. 5 days with the Grand Californian.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my shuttles. I'll take my shuttles.
We'll be glad to have Mitch Harper back next week. So no Mitch today, but he'll return next week. Let's get to a segment we do as often as we can. We've talked a lot of BYU and St. Mary's. We've done a little football. We've had a lot of guests. But there's a lot of storylines we're not able to get to, and that's why we came up with this next segment called The Hurry Up, where Nate is going to mine all of these stories and things that we missed, and we'll get you up to speed on all things BYU. So let's start things off, Nate.
All right, so first up, Aiden Robbins. So transfer in from, first he started at Louisville, went to UNLV. Now he's at BYU. Pretty sure starting running back this year, right? Not really any question about it. But he had just announced that he had wrist surgery. Will be missing spring football, but should be back in time for fall camp.
Sort of significant, just because it's a new scheme. Mm-hmm. Spring football, I think, would have been big for him and anyone who's new to get the repetitions in spring. That's why I'm really stoked about having Keenan Slovis and Jake Retzlaff in the building now, because they're going to get valuable practice reps in spring football, and then they've got summer conditioning. Would you feel as excited about a transfer quarterback coming in if he announced in May That's a big learning curve in just training camp, fall camp. So it is significant that he's missing time. You want him to be healthy, but does it also open the door for someone like Hinkley Ropati to maybe even carve out a bigger role in next year's team?
I definitely think so. I love Hinkley Ropati. I love how quick he is. He's deceivingly quick, right? So a lot of times that's used for, you know, smaller, let's say it, white guys, right? But Hinkley Ropati, he's a lot of fun to watch. I'm a little concerned about recovering from the wrist surgery because I had wrist surgery a couple years ago. I knew how long that took me to get back into normal form. So hopefully he's good by the time the season starts, but he'll be out for a little bit. Next story is BYU has added a new football commit today, preferred walk-on, Prince Zombo. He had a similar role from Arizona State. He played 6A football in Arizona and Peoria, and he's going to be joining the BYU football team, assuming he's going to be signing this Wednesday on signing day. But what are your thoughts on this new commitment for the BYU football
team? Yeah, I like it. I like that they beat Arizona State. He's a preferred walk-on, so he's going to have to work to get that scholarship and climb up the ladder. But 6A football in Arizona, that's a high level of football. There's a lot of great talent that comes from Arizona. And I think the thing I like most, he's over 6 foot, and he's got a little bit bigger build. So, you know, think of Micah Simon. I think the build is like a Micah Simon. And that's a nice get, so looking forward to it. It's not as significant as Aiden Robbins or Keaton Slovis, but it's a nice get to beat out another Pac-12 team to secure services.
And it's all about building depth, I feel like. Some more news around the program. So, actually, one more football news. So, former Cougars Caleb Hayes, defensive back, and offensive lineman Harris LeChance will be playing in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl on the NFL Network later today at 4 p.m. Do you think those guys have a shot at getting drafted?
No, I don't. But I do think they have a chance to be undrafted free agents. And that's going to be hard to not hear your name called. That's the dream. However, dreams and realities don't often intersect. The reality of the NFL is a lot of guys make great careers out of not getting drafted. Being undrafted guy, I mean, no one knows better than BYU. We're talking Taysom, we're talking Danny Sorensen, like Michael Davis,
Harvey Longy.
So, you want to get drafted? That's the dream. The reality is, half of the guys who get drafted don't pan out, and guys who have really nice careers can often be undrafted guys. So, both of them have the measurables at their positions to warrant an undrafted look. The question is, are they going to choose the right spot that's going to allow them to maybe earn a roster spot? You know, I think in the first year, you're aiming for the practice squad. So we'll have to see. But both of those guys have the physical tools to play in the league. It's just getting an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Caleb Hayes, it's interesting because he's so long and lengthy. There was some tweet that came out from the bowl practices this week that talked about his wingspan and how It's the longest wingspan, I believe, of cornerbacks in this class. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. More news around the program. Aside from football and basketball, we've had lots of football and basketball talk today. There's also been some other action going on in BYU sports. Men's volleyball, number 12 in the country currently, defeated number 6 UC Irvine 3-2 yesterday. Women's tennis swept Weber State 7-0. Gymnastics, they logged a season high, scoring 196.650 to beat Utah State last night up in Logan. Women's basketball tips off at 3 p.m. at Pacific, like we've kind of touched on. Swim and dive is up against Utah today. And track and field competing at Razorback Invitational in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Aside from football and basketball, Mitch, is there a sport or a team that you tend to follow more closely?
Men's volleyball is one. It's been fun to see them have some deep runs. Women's soccer as well has been fun now that they've been playing well. Disappointing end to last year's season, but they've been in the tournament of late. You know, women's basketball is one that is slowly catching my attention, as I mentioned earlier. Just such an interesting hire so off the beaten path, especially going to the Big 12. And then they have been adding some talent. Obviously, Coach Whiting's daughter is ultra-talented. She'll be joining the program next year. They get the transfer from Oregon. Her name is eluding me. Do you know it?
It's escaping me as well, but that's
okay. Yeah, let's look this up. We need to be factually based here. But they get a transfer from Oregon's basketball team that was highly recruited. I'm almost there. I'm getting you the name. It is Jenna Asai. So she comes over from Oregon. They're getting some talent.
They are. Absolutely. And I think it helps with, you know, we kind of touched on Coach Whiting, and she hadn't had college coaching experience, but she did coach AAU, and so she understands the recruiting process. She understands, you know, what it takes to be able to pull good talent, and she's obviously making that known.
You know what you can't underrate, too, in today's day and age? It's just like this relatability. Like, it's not 1980s anymore. Like, you have to be able to relate to the players. Kalani does a great job of that. Mm-hmm. And Coach Whiting, I think, is doing a great job of that. Like, I think that she's just someone that is very relatable. And then she also played, too. Like, you got to be relatable, but you also have to have some credibility. And I think, like, she's got credibility from her days of playing. You know, that family has a rich basketball tradition. So I interviewed her on Tuesday. And then she took a flight right up to Boise to go watch her son play at Boise State. And then met up with the team for their trip to Moraga, in which they won that game. Like, that team lives, or it's not team, family. That family eats, breathes, sleeps basketball. Like, she knows what she's talking about with hoops. I think the recruiting message from the success she's had so far is indicating that the message is being heard, the message is being believed. I'm really interested in what BOU women's basketball is going to do in the next couple years with her at the helm.
Yeah, a lot of times we hear about players, coaches, and that sort of thing. I think baseball is a little different because the baseball manager doesn't have as much of a say in his players, but a lot of it is just building a good culture and making players feel trusted and appreciated and putting them in positions to succeed. And I feel like that is especially where Coach Whiting can excel at BYU.
All right, there's the hurry up. Some news and notes and other stories we had previously missed from the world of BYU athletics. Let's take a break on the other side. Let's give our predictions for not only the Gales and Cougars. Maybe let's give our predictions for the pivotal NFC and AFC championship games tomorrow as well. We'll find out who the Super Bowl is in, I don't know, like 30 hours. We'll probably know who's in the Super Bowl, so that's cool. Yeah. We'll discuss that on the other side. Wrap up the show after this. Welcome back in to Cougars Sports Saturday. Matt Biamonte joined by producer Nate Slack. Final segment of the show here. We're going to use some predictions for the St. Mary's game and the BYU game in just a moment. But let's quickly chime in on the AFC and NFC championship games taking place tomorrow. Eagles and Niners up first. I think it's at 1 p.m. in Philadelphia. The Eagles are the home team. Which way are you going on that one, Nate?
So this is the game I'm most excited for, and unfortunately, I have 1:30 church, and so not only do I get to miss the game, it also is super late. So I got the Niners. I think the Eagles, they're a good team, but I think the Niners are just on a roll right now. They've won 12 straight, and I think Fred Warner's going to get a shot in the Super Bowl.
I would love to see that for Fred, a second
shot,
second
Super Bowl,
because he's already been.
Yeah.
They lost to the Chiefs, right. So we could be seeing a rematch from a few years ago. I like the 49ers as well. I just think that they have too many weapons offensively. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, a great offensive line, and they have a great defense. It's too easy, and Brock Purdy has done just enough to keep that afloat. Like, he made a great play. I don't know if you heard this. It was against Dallas. Did you see the George Kittle catch where he was like bobbling it? And huge play in that game. And George Kittle afterwards said, that was a great play by Purdy because I was never a part of that play. Like, that was pure improv. And I think him illuminating us fans as to what that meant, because a lot of people look at Purdy and say, that's just a great team. Like, he doesn't have to do a whole lot. Great coach. That was a huge play in that game. Brock Purdy made that play. That was improv. And so I really like the 49ers to get the win against Philadelphia and go back to the Super Bowl. The second game tomorrow is the Chiefs and the Bengals, a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. The Chiefs have been to, I think it's four straight, might even be five straight AFC Championship games. So Andy Reid, the only coach in NFL history to go to four consecutive championship games with two different franchises and to win double-digit playoff games with two different franchises. Pretty impressive stuff. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, I want to go with the Bengals, but I think the whole Burrowhead stuff has got the Chiefs a little fired up, so I think they're going to come out with a lot of energy. I really want the Bengals, but I think the Chiefs are going to end up rematching with the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
So the health of Patrick Mahomes is the big the big question in that game.
Right.
Looks fine. I think revenge is on the Chiefs' mind. I hate to agree with you, but I think we're going to see the Bengals go down, unfortunately, and we will have a rematch of the Chiefs and the 49ers from a few years ago. That'd be a really fun Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be great. Now let's shift our attention to tonight's matchup. BYU hosting number 22, St. Mary's at the Marriott Center. Game tips at 8 p.m. You can hear it, of course, right here on KSL News Radio. Let's start with Mitch's prediction. He's not here, but he did text us. So I'm going to pull up Mitch's prediction. We'll start with his. He says, I think St. Mary's suffocates BYU. Gale 63, BYU 51. What do you have?
Unfortunately, I tend to agree with Mitch on this. I don't think it's going to be that wide of a margin. So I've got BYU losing 59-63. Again, it's just I can't trust BYU right now with the way they're rebounding the ball and turning it over. And it's just a recipe for disaster. I was looking at St. Mary's schedule, and they've only lost two or three games since the start of December, one of which was to number one Houston by five. They've also beat it was number 22 San Diego State at the time. They've won like the last, I think, nine games, I believe. But they're on a roll. It feels like the two teams are on completely different trajectories. So unfortunately, I have to go with the Gales on this one.
Before the show began, I had St. Mary's winning. But then we talked to Mark Durant. And Mark Durant's a positive, optimistic guy. We love Mark Durant. But I did think he made an interesting point. And that point was this, and I had not considered it. BYU loses to South Dakota and Utah Valley, which, by the way, Utah Valley is a good basketball team. I don't think they're going to win the WAC, but they're going to finish top three and have a chance to win the tournament. It's not a horrible loss, Utah Valley. But you don't want to lose that game. And I know that Coach Pope doesn't want to lose that game because that's where he came from. But he's lost a few times to Utah Valley.
Yeah.
What they do the next game? Go down to Vegas. They play Creighton. Now, caveat, Creighton was missing their best player.
But so is BYU. Good point. Spencer Johnson missed some time.
Good point. So maybe it's all even. BYU wins that game. And I don't think a lot of people thought BYU was going to win that game. And then they went on a streak after that. I think the Marriott Center, some Marriott Center magic, I think they're going to find a way to rebound. BYU has won four in a row at home against St. Mary's. This is going to be the most difficult one of all those. But I don't know. I'm just feeling a kind of way about BYU. So I'm going to go BYU 65, St. Mary's 63. They find a way to get it done. I don't, other than I'm just piggybacking on Mark Durant, I don't have a good reason for it because all the stats, all the trajectory that you laid out just a moment ago, Nate, it all points to St. Mary's. I don't know. This is a hard place to play. It's an emotional game. There's players on this team that have had success against St. Mary's. So I'm going to go BYU. Quickly, what's your key for a BYU win?
My key, I think there's going to have to be somebody who can take the game over. So if that's Rudy Williams going off for 30 points, or Noah Waterman being able to hit his threes. I don't know where he's been. It feels like he's been
MIA.
He's been MIA for weeks. So somebody's going to have to come in and score a lot of points. It's all relative, right? So if Noah Waterman comes in and bangs five threes, that's a great contribution. But yep. somebody's going to have to come in, do more than they typically do. And if that happens, I think BYU can pull off the win. And honestly, it's going to be a really fun atmosphere. There's going to be a lot of people there. There yep. are still some seats available. So if you haven't bought your tickets yet, get on that. But I think it is going to be a really fun environment, and that can make all the difference.
Tip off 8 p.m. BYU and St. Mary's. We're done for the day. Thanks to producer Nate. I'm Matt Piamonte, and shout out to our board op, Dave Meekum. We'll see you next week.
I'll say.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.